Investing Simplified is brought to you by Chuck Price, President and Wealth Manager of Price Financial Group, Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Chuck can be contacted by visiting www.pfgwm.com. You can email Chuck a question at askchuck@pfgwm.com, or you can call him right now at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
We do Investing Simplified.
Well, welcome to Investing Simplified, the longest-running live radio show, financial show, that you can actually call in and ask a question. You don't have to wait. You can call in and ask about anything that is of interest to you. You can call us at 503-417-7626 or toll-free 800-990-0750. And in studio with me is Kevin Stege with the Baker Coastal CPA firm.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Kevin.
Hello.
And Carl Jepson with the Warren Allen Law Firm.
Good morning, gentlemen.
And, you know, we are just excited because we get to follow the watchdog on Wall Street, which is a great show if you listen to it, because it'll wake everybody up, and you don't even need coffee if you listen to that show. It gets you going, gets you energized. So we're glad to be here this morning. If you got a question, give us a call. Also, I want to mention, if you listen to this show and you call my office or stop by, I will give you a your choice. You can have a free copy of Harry Dent's book, and if you want a copy, I'll give you a free copy while they last. I've got a few left, so they're available. We've had several of our listeners stop by and get one. You're welcome to have one, but call first, make sure we have a copy, and I'll give you a copy of it. I want to get right into the markets, because I know this is going to be related later. We're going to have a little more discussion on this as we go with the Knowledge Trust, but I do want to talk about the markets, what's going on in the stock market, and what I think is going to be happening here in the near future. And the one thing I want to say is, when you're listening to the financial shows, and I happen to be watching one of the shows on Fox Business this past week, and they had Harry Dent on there, and Tom Sullivan introduced Harry Dent as a doom and gloomer. And in actuality, guys who predict or say that we're going to have a market correction, if you and your financial planner are working on that, that is a golden opportunity if it's not a surprise. The only guy it's a doom and gloomer to is the guy who didn't plan for it. If you didn't plan for it, oh yeah, it is a shock. It's a hit in the face. But if it's part of your strategy to plan for that, and if you're not planning for it with part of your assets, you're making a big mistake. And so I just want to say, and I was hoping Harry was going to address that, but he didn't. But if you get a chance, you can go on YouTube and watch his interview. Quite interesting. I'm going to talk about the stock market, because I personally believe the stock market's way overinflated. I believe there's been a lot of manipulation on Wall Street by the federal government. And I believe that the markets are way, way overripe right now. The Dow Jones right now closed at 18,232 on the 22nd, which would be yesterday, Friday. Now, where's the Dow Jones stand when we hit that first big high on 10,907 of 14,164 before the crash of 08, or 07 and 08, actually? Well, we're up 28.72% in 7 years and 7.5 months. That's 3.77% return per year. That's for the Dow Jones, the big 30. The Dow Jones on 12/31/99 closed at 11,497. So in 14 years and 4.75 months, it's up 58.58% or 4.07% per year. Yeah, much better than a CD at 1%. But I got to tell you, if inflation's 3 and we have income tax of a third or even a quarter, so you got 3.25, you made 75 basis points net. That's not exciting. I don't care what market you're in or where you're at or what planet you're on. That's not a good return, folks. The S&P, on the other hand, closed at 21.2606 on Friday, yesterday, and it's up 35.84 in 7 years and a half months, or 4.7%, much better than the Dow. But if we go back to the turn of the century, it's even worse. The S&P closed on 12.3199 at 14.6925. So in 14 years and 4 3/4 months, it's up 3.11% per year. Now, for all you gold bugs out there, I just want you to know, gold is not going to go up. I believe gold's going to go down. Gold closed at 1205. Last week, it was at 1224. So it was down about $19. Oil closed at $59.99. It was up 9 cents in a week. So no big deal on that. But I'm telling you right now, if you're not taking part of your portfolio, your serious money, and you don't plan your serious money for a correction, you're making a big, big mistake right now. You gotta have a strategy. Doesn't mean you put all your eggs in one basket by any means. But I listen to a lot of financial shows, and I got to tell you, there's a reason why most of them don't do them live, because people would call in. I would love to call in on a couple of them and ask them a couple questions. I heard a guy, and I won't say when I heard it because it'll be a tip off who it is, but I heard a guy say that all the plans he looks at are all the same from other people. Well, he's exactly the same, because every plan I see of his are exactly the same. I could tell you 80% of the client's money is in annuities or life insurance. 80%. Maybe 20%, and that's only because of the legal limit of REITs. The rest are in REITs. So, and if you're one of his clients, you probably know who I'm talking about. But 80% of his portfolios are annuities, and 20% are in REITs, and the annuities are guaranteed income. But the problem is, fixed indexed annuities over the last 14 years have only returned about a 4% return. So about the same as the S&P and the Dow. Yeah, you never had a losing year, but you never had a big winning year either. So, you know, when you have an investment that doesn't lose money in a given year, it also doesn't make any money in a given year. Where a lot of managed portfolios may have had a down year or two, but even in some of the years, they can make some nice double-digit returns and get you back in the game and have your assets growing at a much higher rate. And listen, I'll tell you what, if you don't believe down the road we're going to have inflation, I believe right now we're in a little deflation, but I believe very, very strongly that we're going to have inflation down the road about in the 2020s, and it's going to be a roaring inflation, and I think we're going to have a roaring economy. But that's just me. That's what I think. You know, you need to look at the situation around. You need to be thinking all the time about your money and your investments, and you need to have common sense about it. If it's too good to be true, it probably is. You know, we say that all the time, but I'll tell you, I see people all the time tell me about this great investment they got, and it's going to make X number of dollars, and then the reality hits, and it doesn't happen. And what I feel really about is when it's a senior citizen who took a bunch of money, stuck it into an investment, and the investment goes south. That is not a good thing, because they can't go out and get a job and earn the money back. So you got to be careful. You got to be careful what you're doing. I do want to have you call in if you got a question. Hey, listen, we want to answer your questions. One of the reasons we do our show live is to give you the opportunity to call in. You can ask Carl about estate planning. You ask Kevin about taxes. You can ask me about investing. But this is your opportunity to ask. Nobody knows who you are. We'll never tell your real name, because you don't give it to us on the air anyway. But nobody knows who you are. So call in and ask a question. If you got a question and something in your portfolio is keeping you up at night, give us a call. We'll answer the question. 503-417-7626. Or toll free 800-990-0750. Or if something's concerning you about your estate plan, this is a good time to maybe call in and ask Carl or ask us about what you're planning, what you're doing, if it makes sense. You know, free's a good price when you can call in and ask for free. Well, you know, it's Memorial Day, and every one of us kind of look at Memorial Day differently. I look at it very fondly because I lost a brother-in-law in Vietnam. Joe Aragon was a military person, 20 years in the Army. My brother served in World War II. Both my sons served in Iraq, Travis with the Marines, my oldest son Chuck with the Army. So we have a very fondness for the military, and at this point, I'm going to go out in my segment here with about 30 seconds of these taps to honor all the military people that have been lost, their families, and just want to say thank you for your service.
Simplify. When you have questions about your health, you go to a doctor, right? But when it comes to your financial health, like what investments will give you the best return, why are you talking to your spouse's cousin Lou? You need Chuck Price, the financial doctor. Chuck Price knows investing is not a one-size-fits-all approach. It's about what's best for your financial health. Sure, investing can be complex, but like your medical doctor, Chuck Price makes the complex simple, so you understand exactly what you're doing and why you're doing it. Sign up for our free newsletter and see our free videos at AskTheFinancialDoctor.com or call 503-253-3000 and make an appointment for a free financial checkup. We'll give you the facts and our honest advice. Then make your own decision. Nothing against your spouse's cousin Lou, but we've been helping people for over 40 years.
We do investing simplified.
Chuck Price, the financial doctor. Call 503-253-3000.
How often do you have a checkup? Annually? Only when you're not feeling your best? Or are you one who waits until there is an emergency condition? High blood pressure, rapid pulse, or sleepless nights could be the result of your investment portfolio or no estate plan. But there is a specialist ready to offer you a checkup on your financial health.
Hey, Gene, Dr. Price. Hey, Gene, Dr. Price.
Chuck Price, the financial doctor and author of Investing Simplified, is offering you a free financial checkup. Whether you're asking for a second opinion, a complete financial physical, or investment stress test, Chuck Price, the financial doctor, can help diagnose your money ailments and prescribe a prudent path towards healthy investments and peace of mind. Call 503-253-3000 to schedule your financial checkup or on the web at pfgwm.com. That's pfgwm.com. You'll feel better.
When your legal rights and responsibilities are involved, you need attorneys you can trust. The attorneys at the Warren Allen Law Firm offer you solid legal advice and exceptional service. We practice in nearly all areas of law. We can help you with your legal needs, including wills, trusts, probate, contracts, real estate, construction, landlord rights, business, personal injury, divorce, bankruptcy, and civil litigation. The Warren Allen Law Firm has represented individuals and businesses for over three decades, and its nine attorneys have more than 200 years of combined experience practicing law. By combining experience and knowledge with individualized attention and prompt service, Warren Allen is the law firm to rely on when you are in need of legal representation. We are conveniently located at 850 Northeast 122nd Avenue near the I-205 and I-84 interchange. I'm Carl Jepson, partner with the Warren Allen Law Firm, and I invite you to contact us at 503-255-8795 or on the web at warrenallen.com.
Got a legal question? Coming up is Carl Jepson, estate planning attorney and partner of the Warren Allen Law Firm, with Carl's comments. You can call Carl at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Here's Carl Jepson.
All right, send lawyers cash, guns, and money.
Well, welcome back to Investing Simplified. This is the time for Carl's comments. And today, I want to talk about estate planning requires courage and thoughtful questions. And you may be absolutely shocked to know that some people actually procrastinate when it comes to doing their estate planning. And, you know, besides the usual excuse that they're too busy, there are two more fundamental reasons why we wait around for so long, why we procrastinate. First, let's face it, we are reluctant to acknowledge our own mortality. It's easy to be too busy to die. And the second reason is that estate planning requires us to ask some thoughtful questions about our life, about our spouses, about our children, and about our values. So we kind of have to call ourselves to account for our life and to some extent what it means. This little talk is determined to encourage you to muster the courage to ask those questions and to consider working on your estate plan. So here are 10 questions you might want to consider before going to your estate planning attorney. What happens if I become incapacitated? Nobody wants to hear this, you know, but let's face it, it happens a lot more than you might expect. Becoming incapacitated and not being able to manage your own affairs is not fun. Number two, what happens if my spouse dies first? Nobody wants to hear that either. You know, that's the other kind of thing that happens, and a lot of times people just say, well, that's not going to happen. Well, sometimes it does. What if one of my children dies first? That's the one nobody in their right mind ever wants to hear. How can I provide for a child with special needs? I found that there are many, many more children of special needs that require special planning, and we need to work on that. If I die before my spouse, do I really trust my spouse to carry out my wishes regarding the disposition of my property? I mean, let's just think about that a little bit. This is particularly difficult if you have a blended family, and it may be that the surviving spouse may not like those stepchildren very well, or not as well as their own children, or maybe just the opposite. I don't know. It depends on how they feel. Number six is, well, if my children are minors, who should be their guardian? I can't stress this too much. You know, a lot of times it's very difficult. If you really sit down and say, who would I want to raise my children if, you know, mom and dad weren't there? That's a very difficult question or can be. And so it's one that requires some considerable thought. Who should be my personal representative or executor? Again, you want someone who's really trustworthy to do that. How can I minimize family squabbling? Well, you can spend all the money. That's probably the best way. But there are other things you can do, too. Who's going to take care of my dog? Now, that one is, to me, is real personal, and I think we should consider that one.
That's a new one you've added recently.
I should have put that on the top, I suppose. But anyway, that's important to me. And besides my property, what legacy am I leaving behind? And so even though a lot of these questions, we could spend a lot of time on each one of those questions about what they mean and what they might mean to you and what you might think about doing about it, I wanted to, since this is Memorial Day, and Memorial Day for a lot of people is honoring not only the military, but also family members who have passed on. And so this is sort of a generalized thought. But that last question, besides my property, what legacy am I leaving behind, might be one to really think about in Memorial Day. And so I thought I have some thoughts on some questions that might, you know, encourage you about answering that question number 10, which is, what am I leaving behind besides my property? And so you might ask yourself, have I left a legacy that valued, encouraged decency, sympathy, justice, respect for nature, outrage at man's inhumanity to man, the belief that every life is invaluable, strength to oppose tyranny, courage to protect the defenseless, tolerance for differing viewpoints, and faith that ultimately God will work it all out for good.
Amen.
And that's Carl's comments, and wishing you all a wonderful Memorial Day.
Well, we'll be right back.
Price Financial Group Wealth Management. We
do Investing Simplified.
Hi, everybody. Chuck Price, the financial doctor here. If you're between ages 58 and 68, choosing Social Security benefits at the right time is one of the biggest financial decisions you'll ever make. You get one chance to get it right. After 12 months, there are no do-overs. 74% of Americans receive reduced benefits. Get your free report on 44 Social Security secrets at pfgwm.com. Social Security is often one of the largest and most mismanaged assets in your retirement income plan. Claiming benefits sounds easy. So is leaving up to $250,000 of your money with the government, or reducing your benefits up to 76% over your life expectancy. For this vital information, go online to pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
We do Investing Simplified.
Let's face it, the rules of retirement have changed. What we were told to do just a few years ago now seems like a pipe dream. Hi, this is Michael Burnett for Chuck Price, owner of Price Financial Group Wealth Management. You know the drill. Be a loyal employee. You'll get a pension. Your home will be worth 10 to 20 times what you paid for it when you retire. So how's that working for you? Call Chuck Price right now. He's located right here in Portland. Featured expert on Investing Simplified on AM 970. Chuck specializes in working with people who are either retired or close to retiring, and he focuses on protection of principal and tax strategies to minimize your taxes. Call right now and get Chuck's retirement report. It's packed full of information on generating more income during retirement, how to leave more to your heirs, and so much more. 503-253-3000. Chuck Price, Price Financial Group Wealth Management, on the web at pfgwm.com.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Colson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Colson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We're located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercolson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercolson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Colson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
Do you have a tax question? Here's your opportunity to ask the tax investigator, Kevin Stege, CPA and partner of the Baker Colson CPA firm. You can call Kevin at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Now here's the CPA with the tax answers, CPA Kevin Stege.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified here on a fairly overcast Portland Saturday morning, but we're glad you're listening to us, and hopefully the coffee's kicked in. And two good segments from Chuck and Carl with some good things to say regarding Memorial Day, and I do definitely appreciate that. I know both of you have been involved in the armed forces yourselves, so... Very, very good. I had a grandpa who flew a number of missions during World War II in the South Pacific as a bombardier navigator, and he didn't end up talking a lot about his time, but from what we've heard, it was a pretty amazing time in the world and in his life too. Today I wanted to just briefly, first off, Chuck, talk a bit about. You used a phrase earlier that I thought was very. I haven't heard it very often in investing circles, and that's regarding the markets. They are overripe, overripe, and that sounds to me like you're a farmer, slightly advocating harvesting some things. But before we get back to that, sounds like we have a caller on the line.
Yeah, we got Frank on the line. You got a question about a stock, Frank?
Yes, it's kind of a general question about selling some stocks that are not over-the-counter products that would go through the brokerage, like a Scott trade, but have to be sold through the fund manager. So I was wondering if there's any just basic guidelines, things to watch out for, obligations that the fund manager has, things along that line.
Well, I'm not sure exactly. When you're saying through the fund manager, how are you selling a stock out of a fund?
Well, it's a...
Is it a managed portfolio?
Right. So you wouldn't sell it through the Scott trade like you would an over-the-counter stock. So you have to contact the fund manager and have them sell it.
Yeah, who's ever managing for you. The only thing, you know, on the managed portfolios we do like that, people can sell out of an individual stock, but the thing I would be concerned about is capital gains treatment right now with what your tax bracket is and what your capital gain treatment is, or a capital loss. Have you got a gain or a loss on the stock?
Right. Some have some gains, some have some loss.
Yeah, and I would call your manager of the fund and find out what your position is on that. Of course, if you need the money, it doesn't matter. But I mean, sometimes it doesn't. You just gotta bite the bullet. But I would call and talk to them and find out the position of the stock. Are you going to sell out the whole block?
No, it's just some individuals. They're not like in a mutual fund.
Yeah, yeah. They'd be in a managed portfolio. I mean, some of our managed portfolios, we hold stocks for people in a trading platform, and then when they get ready to sell them, they let us know, and we liquidate them for them. And I think that's what you're talking about.
Right. So yeah. My curiosity was what kind of obligations as far as timing and things do the fund managers have?
Well, if you call them and tell them you want to sell their stock, they have to immediately put the trade in. So I mean, they're under the obligation to do it. There might be fees too. Is yours a fee based or is it a commission based managed portfolio?
Well, it's not a managed portfolio. It's just some individual stocks.
Okay, so then are you paying the person who's managing that stock portfolio, though, are you paying them a commission or a fee?
It'll probably be a fee.
Oh, okay. Well, if you want to liquidate part of your portfolio, I mean, we're under obligation if you call, a client calls and says they want to cash out whatever it is in their portfolio, we're obligated to put that trade in immediately unless you give other instructions. Like, let's say you have a stock that's trading at $110 and you want to put a stop loss in that stock, and if it drops below $100, you want that thing sold. You can have them put in like a stop loss on that stock. But what it sounds like to me is you just want to directly sell those stocks.
Right, right.
Yeah, so you just call them and tell them you want them sold, and they'll sell them, and that'll be done. Like, if you call and leave them a message, they'll do that at the open of the market on Tuesday, because the market's closed Monday.
Right.
So you can call them, leave a message, and as soon as they come into their office, if they're on the East Coast, West Coast, wherever they're at, they'll come in, they'll hear that message. Usually most brokerages that are doing that, though, will tell you have to give trade orders directly to a person live. So you'll have to call in at the open when they open up on Tuesday morning, call in and tell them you want to trade that stock.
Okay. Thank you very much for the advice.
You bet. Thanks. We're going to get back to the tax investigator.
Very good. Very good question there, Frank. The devil is always in the details, and getting those things right are important. Well, Chuck, regarding the markets being overripe, I think one thing that's probably contributing to this, and maybe some of our listeners have been following some of this trend, but the latest trend of corporate stock buybacks. And Carl and I had a situation we dealt with this week where we were talking about that, and that's what's kind of spurred this thought and all. And typically from a tax perspective or an accounting perspective or a CFO's perspective, if you will, a buyback is typically done to get money into shareholders' hands. But what it's doing is, right now we have record low debt levels, and corporations are buying, they're issuing debt, getting all of this cash, and instead of investing in capital expenditures, equipment.
Growth and expansion.
Research and development. Yep. Exactly. They're using this money to buy back existing stock, which is going to increase earnings per share. And so basically, on paper, it's looking pretty good, but really nothing has changed, and maybe you're not even investing too much toward the future. So definitely something to look at as another possible little bubble or a blister or something along those lines.
No, I think you're exactly right, Kevin. That's why I think the markets are overripe. I think this has been going on for some time, also with the manipulation of the money supply by the government. And I think we're headed for a pretty severe correction.
Yeah. Yeah. And one other reason to do this also is when you have more favorable bottom line numbers for earnings per share, you also typically have increased compensation for executives based on their formulas. So it's kind of a win-win for the powers that be. So, but again, the how it affects us is we're looking at, you know, not so much investing in what, you know, to grow the companies truly, but more just on paper. So just something to consider.
Well, does that have the effect also of increasing in the possibility of increasing sort of or focusing the control of the company into fewer shareholders, that maybe big shareholders that could maybe then have a much greater percentage?
Well, that's always the case. I mean, it's like when they send out the things they want you to vote on, they normally already have enough votes to cover it. Mm-hmm. They're doing the mailing just to cover their assets and make sure that they've got it out there so that everybody can vote. But most corporations are controlled by they already have the control of the stock. Mm-hmm. That's why the board is the board.
And it's definitely a pawn in the hostile takeover type thing and stuff. But yeah, when we're talking about closely held corporations, your small corporations where you have a couple owners or your small partnerships and stuff, then it's a key part of transition planning in terms of, you know, buying an existing shareholder out so that the junior shareholders now have more shares, so on and so forth. So there's definitely a great place for it in terms of, you know, the closely held corporations. And
yeah, family held corporations sometimes can create a real problem because you got family members that are buying the shares from other family members, and one family member is trying to gain control of the stock, and that can create a massive problem. And I know of one such one that's going on right now, and it's a major problem for everybody down the road, but nobody's talking about it.
And it takes very specific planning to make these things work effectually, but they do. They can, and they do. So, yeah.
Let's see. One of my questions was, how was it? How can I minimize family squabbling after I die? Well, maybe we ought to think about that.
That's right.
Very good. Very good. That's
that's where you have that one, Carl. What's that thing in trust that you have that the incontestable clause?
Oh yeah, the no contest clause.
Yeah, if they contest it, they get a dollar and goodbye.
Yeah, they call that an interim clause. Isn't that neat? Isn't that a really good language?
Yeah.
I love that language. Yes,
it's like tearing them out of your will.
Yeah.
Well, my favorite point you had was putting the dog in trust. I think that's
absolutely.
Yes, putting the dog into a trust and having him taken care of. And,
well, is that like having a dog in the fight?
Dog in the fight, yeah.
That's right. Well, switching gears, I want to talk a little bit about, and this is always comes up, I'd say at least once every 2 weeks, I get questions regarding, hey, can I use my once-in-a-lifetime exclusion on my home sale? And that's usually when I put the phone on mute, have a little chuckle, take it off of mute and say, yes, those rules went out
long time ago.
Over a decade ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
Almost, I think, around the year 2000.
It's funny you say that because I hear that all the time, too.
Yeah. And you know, we've got it. And before that, we had the reinvesting your capital gains.
And
that affected me when I was a kid because we had to reinvest some capital gains, and it meant my brother and I out in the fields with a shovel, making improvements to the property we bought. So, anyway, but I wanted to talk eventually about that. But maybe getting to that, why would, and I'll throw a question out here: why would a a taxpayer or a couple, we'll say a baby boomer couple, with 100% equity in their home want to sell it? Why would you sell that? And there's a number of answers to that, and I think there are things that we should possibly consider. The first thing is maybe you just want to downsize, and I think that's a big portion of what baby boomers are doing. The McMansions really haven't panned out like they thought they would. Financially, if we look at it financially, potentially the cost of a condo could be less than the cost of keeping up a fully paid off home even. When you take property taxes, homeowners association fees, maintenance on a large house, and if it's really large, possibly cleaning expenses, so on and so forth, downsizing can actually be a benefit. And so it may be worth looking at in your situation. Also, if we're in a potentially coming up onto a declining real estate market, may not be a bad move. Your house, say you have $400,000 in equity in your house just sitting there. And if it's not going up in appreciation, that $400,000 isn't doing you any good at all. So potentially downsizing, having a smaller monthly cost for housing in, say, a condo, if it's the right setup. I'm not saying Park Avenue here, if it's the right setup for you, you could have a lot less maintenance, a lot less upkeep costs, and potentially have a bit of a benefit there.
Well, you know, Kevin, one of the things a lot of baby boomers did in the 2000s is a lot of them bought as big a house as they could because they thought houses were just going to keep going up and up and up. And so a lot of retirement planning of people that I've ran into, part of their retirement plan was to buy the biggest house they could buy, and then when they got out there to get closer to retirement, then sell it, take that money, buy a small house for cash, smaller house, and use the other for investment income.
Exactly.
Which is a very smart idea. The problem came, though, when the houses quit growing in value, and we're just now back to the price range where we were at before, so it's about a break even back to 2004 or 5. And so for a lot of people, that didn't work out. They're at the same place they were at the time. And that in lies a big problem for some of that planning.
Yeah.
You know, there's one caveat that I have for prospective condo buyers, and that is that if they're going to buy a condo, one of the first things they should do is to research the Condominium Homeowners Association and how much money have they spent, have they kept their reserves up, have they done any repairs and maintenance. You know, if it's a brand new condo, it probably doesn't matter so much. But say it's 20 years old, and then they need to look at that because it is not uncommon that you buy into this and they look pretty, but they haven't been maintained really. And the next thing you know, there's a special assessment coming to you of some significant amount to pay for a new roof on the entire place or new siding or whatever it might be that no one expected. And you're supposed to pay it all in one chunk. And if they don't, they can, you know, put a lien on it and foreclose it. So, I mean, it can be really ugly.
Know that you also need to check on your regular home. If you're in a homeowners association, you want to make sure what the rules are, because we had a guy who had bought an RV and it broke down and he had to get it fixed. And then he ended up getting a fine for having it parked on the street and because of the HOA agreement. A lot of us sent in letters and tried to support him on it and not have him get a fine for it because it was kind of out of his control. But the rules are the rules. It's tough to change.
The homeowners association things can be very difficult, too, because they may restrict the use of your property much more than you think it does, and they also often restrict the appearance of your property, which means that if you're going to do some major renovations of some sort, one of the cases we had was one where they not only did you have to have if you were going to put in a new roof, it had to be not only a certain type of roof, it had to be a certain brand.
Oh, wow.
And
well, man, did the manufacturer get in there to the HOA and get a little deal going?
I don't know how it worked out that way. But anyway, so that was a real problem because even though the fellow, he just didn't even know. I mean, you know, buys this thing and he puts a new roof on and it looks just like everybody else's roof, but it's not the same brand. And you know, it was a... yeah. Anyway, turned into a lawsuit. You know, litigate and prosper. There you go.
Well, it's so, you know, there's a silver lining in everything.
Oh,
there?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's right.
Well, listen,
you know,
we're gonna take a quick break and come back with the Knowledge Trust. You're listening to Investing Simplified. If you got a question, pick up that phone, give us a call, and call 503-417-7626 or toll free 800-990-0750. We'll be right back.
Financial Group, Wealth Management. We do investing simplified.
When you have questions about your health, you go to a doctor, right? But when it comes to your financial health, like what investments will give you the best return, why are you talking to your spouse's cousin Lou? You need Chuck Price, the financial doctor. Chuck Price knows investing is not a one-size-fits-all approach. It's about what's best for your financial health. Sure, investing can be complex, but like your medical doctor, Chuck Price makes the complex simple, so you understand exactly what you're doing and why you're doing it. Sign up for our free newsletter and see our free videos at AskTheFinancialDoctor.com or call 503-253-3000 and make an appointment for a free financial checkup. We'll give you the facts and our honest advice. Then make your own decision. Nothing against your spouse's cousin Lou, but we've been helping people for over 40 years.
We do investing simplified.
Chuck Price, the financial doctor. Call 503-253-3000.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Coulson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Coulson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercoulson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercoulson.com. 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Coulson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
We do investing simplified.
Hi, everybody. Chuck Price, the financial doctor here. If you're between ages 58 and 68, choosing Social Security benefits at the right time is one of the biggest financial decisions you'll ever make. You get one chance to get it right. After 12 months, there are no do-overs. 74% of Americans receive reduced benefits. Get your free report on 44 Social Security secrets at pfgwm.com. Social Security is often one of the largest and most mismanaged assets in your retirement income plan. Claiming benefits sounds easy. So is leaving up to $250,000 of your money with the government, or reducing your benefits up to 76% over your life expectancy. For this vital information, go online to pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
Do investing simplified.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that legal question or even a tax question answered now. Call the Knowledge Trust at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. 7626. Now here's Chuck, Carl, and Kevin, the Knowledge Trust.
Like that new there, we're going to give them something to talk about. We like to end the show with giving you something to talk about, and I would say that right now, at this time of the year, we're heading into the summer months, and this is a time when people actually spend more time planning their vacations or have planned their vacations than they plan in doing their financial planning, their estate planning, and their tax planning. So what I would like to give you something to talk about is over the summer months, while you're relaxing with a cold brewski or a cold lemonade or whatever you drink, and you're sitting there kind of thinking about things, might not be a bad time to sit down and just take a little note to yourself and say, things I want to do for my estate, things I want to do for my investment portfolio, and things I want to do about taxes for 2015. Because I'll tell you what, in a blink of an eye, we're going to be in 2016. So if you don't start today, you're not going to get it done.
Well, you know, like what they say, procrastination begins with P, and that rhymes with P, and that means pool. No, it's you know,
I thought he was going to have
going to have it as a rap star, but anyway, you know, I think that that's one of those things that we do have is people don't spend much time doing it, and it's so easy. I mean, I understand it. Everybody is really, really busy. It's very difficult. I think today's world is busier than ever, and everybody's just running hither and thither. And it's very difficult to sit down and kind of take that quiet time and do this sort of thing.
Well, and once you sit down and you put your plan in place, then your brewski and your lemonade taste all that much better.
Yeah. See, there you go.
That's right. And you can actually mix those together and get a shandy.
Oh,
there you go.
Sounds good.
Well, yeah, you throw in some iced tea there, and you got an Arnold Palmer somewhere in there. So, yeah. Well, listen, you know, this is a good time because we got summer coming on. There's going to be a lot of fun things to do. We live in the Great Northwest, but you know, winter's going to come, and a lot of indoor stuff. And I would just say to you that one of the fun things you might do this summer is say, okay, I'm gonna plan out my life for this year. And I'm going to get my tax planning done before September and October. I'm going to get my estate plan in order before the end of this year, before Christmas, because that's the best gift you could give your family. And I'm going to get my financial plan in order, my financial things in order. So if you think about those things to do, give yourself a to-do list. It's not that hard if you just lay them out and put the numbers. The hardest thing to do is the first step. Mm-hmm. And that's writing it down. That's the hardest thing to do.
Right. And one of the things, you know, vacations, you mentioned vacations. I would encourage all of you who are taking vacations, if you're going out of town, whether you're flying or driving or whatever it is, I really hope that you will think about doing your estate planning, if you haven't already done it, at least a month in advance. And the reason is that I can tell you many, many, many times, I have people that call me on Tuesday afternoon and say, we're leaving Friday morning, we need to get this done. And oh, by the way, I've got, you know, all this stuff and I want a living trust. Well, there are limits as to what we can do under some of those circumstances, and it's never good to rush. So think about it. If you've planned your vacation in March to go to, you know, in sometime in July, then how about in April, call and make your appointment and say, gosh, we're leaving in July and we'd like to get this estate plan done. That would be really helpful for us.
Well, listen, you know, if you've got that vacation plan in July, we've got the rest of May and June to do it. So now's a good time to plan.
Absolutely. Now would be fine.
And I'll tell you, if you do that, you will have peace of mind, and you won't have those things keeping you up late at night to worry about. And I kind of joke about it because I put that in one of my ads, the dreaded estate plan.
Mm-hmm.
But I could tell you how many people I run into that are in their 70s and 80, and they don't have an estate plan.
Well, and along those lines, one of the things that I often find is that people don't realize that the lawyer doesn't do all the work. The client has to do some work when it comes to doing their own estate planning. They have to, because they're the ones that have the legal right to do that. And so, you know, a lot of people just expect you to write a document, and you come in and sign it, and that's all there is to it. But especially if you're dealing with trust, you end up having to go to your banks and your brokers and fill out some forms. And all of that is tedious, and nobody likes doing it, but it's the only way it makes it work. And if you don't, then you've kind of wasted your money, because if you've done it halfway, you've basically not done it at all.
Well, you know, Carl, one of the other things, too, and I got to give you some kudos here, because you helped some people that we know recently. You actually went to the hospital and helped some people draw up their will and their power of attorneys and such, because that's a little late doing it, though. If you're in the hospital and you're ill, it's a little late to be doing your financial planning and you're doing your estate plan. So you want to do that before that happens. And that's kudos to you for doing
that. Well, thank you. And she is a sweet lady. And it was just a pleasure to meet her and talk with her. And it was nice.
Well, I did mention this some time ago. Carl did the same thing for my sister, who I thought had everything all set up and found out that she didn't. And thank goodness Carl was able, him and his assistant, go to the hospital and drop her will and her things for her at the end of time. And it's really important to have that done. And I'm just thankful that it got done. But that's the worst case scenario you want to do. You really want to do it while you're of sound mind, while you're healthy, while you can make those decisions, because there are a lot of decisions to be made. And it's not just which one of the kids get the fine silverware or who gets my 357 Magnum or whatever. It's there's some other things. Carl's raising his hand, yeah. But it's who gets these things that are important? And you want to plan for that because, as we always say, if you don't plan to succeed, you automatically plan to fail.
Well, and for the most part, people have most of the details down on how they want things to go, but they're probably missing one or two things, and they don't know how to resolve those. And that's what's keeping you from finishing everything off. And usually that's the time to go and sit down and talk with somebody, Chuck Carl, and for tax purposes, myself, and get those final details rounded out and enjoy that that brewski.
Well, we've got 3 minutes on our show, so if you were going to call, it's probably too late. But we got 3 minutes, so what we're going to do is give each of us a minute with one idea, that your 1 minute idea that you could tell somebody on planning their taxes, their estate, or their investing. Kevin, you want to go?
Consider whether you're going to be over the Oregon $1 million. And if you are, know that there are solutions. That's my 1 minute idea.
Wow, and that was like in 20 seconds. That was good.
I don't think I can beat that. I think this is probably the most important thing you could do to start. Write a list of where all your papers are, where all your statements are, your brokerage, your blank. And know what all of those are and who the contact people are, who your CPA is, all of that financial information, and put it in a place where people know where it is. By organizing those things and having them kind of like a balance sheet or a financial statement. If you have what amounts to a financial statement, but with the information that tells you not just how much it is, but who it is, then you have gone a long way towards making your estate planning much easier.
Yeah, we always tell people in that when you do a financial statement, because usually there's not enough room in there to tell where it is, we tell our clients to attach copies of their statements with that, because then you have it in a safe place and tell somebody where it's at. The thing I would say for anybody right now investing money is to take a good look at your portfolios, take a good look at where you're at. Sometimes it's better to take a gain in the hand than a promise in the future. And I would take a good look at any gains. The guy called today about the buying and selling his stock, and I'd be looking at that stock. And if you've had a substantial gain and you want to insure that gain, you need to be putting stop losses on your stock. You need to be doing that to protect the gain. If you don't care about the gain, that's a whole different story, but I don't know who does that. But I'd put a stop loss on it and protect your gains right now, because I think we are going to have a correction. I can't tell you, and I don't have a crystal ball, and anybody that can tell you and predict that the market's going to go up or down is living in fantasy land, because none of us can. But if you look around what's going on in the economy, you consider the fact that, this is one of the worst employment rates we've ever had in the history of this country, in spite of what the government keeps telling you. There are not that many people working. You got 10,000 baby boomers retiring every day, turning 65. They're going to start drawing money instead of spending money. So we got a situation coming here that you ought to be aware of. Listen, we'll be back next week with Investing Simplified. Make sure you let people know we're on the air. You can also catch us on iTunes, and thanks to all you people who are listening to us on the web as well. Have a great week.